Mike Malloy here. Thanks for joining us. Gosh, 4th of July is just a couple days away, huh? We were up in the North Georgia Mountains over the weekend and saw a fireworks display up at, where were we? Blue Ridge, Georgia. North Georgia Mountains are usually, you know, the place where people from the metro Atlanta area go to escape the heat and bad air. And all of a sudden, the heat and bad air has migrated into the Smoky Mountains, which is the Georgia part of the Appalachians. Well, I guess Tennessee claims in Smoky Mountains, too, but that's what we call it, Smoky Mountains, the Appalachians in Georgia. So we're up there. The temperature on Saturday was 104. And you could, we stayed up on top of a mountain. And as you looked out over the vista of mountain range after mountain range after mountain range, you could see the air thick and filthy. Now, granted, some of that is from natural what's we're looking for, Kathy? Natural exhalations of the pine trees up there. Some of it, but it was just kind of shocking. And then on Sunday, we did some rafting down one of the rivers in North Georgia in order that now the water was just icy. You know, it comes burbling out of the mountains and, probably the coolest place in North Georgia was on that river. The chilliest. I don't mean coolest like, yeah, hey, man, what, you know, I mean, chilly. Only it wasn't chilly. The temperature on the river was probably about 90. I love the North Georgia Mountains. As Bob Kincaid has mentioned here, on this program, the Appalachians, whether it's in all the way up into Maine or all the way down into Alabama, it's the oldest mountain range on Earth. And it has been ground down to the point now where a really high elevation in this range, at least in the south, might be 3,000-4,000 feet, if that. But it's an ancient geological formation. And I love it up there. Always have. Always have loved the mountains. Especially the seasons change. And the cool weather in the summer, it can be 98 degrees in Atlanta, and if you just drive 2 hours north, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, you just drive 2 hours north, and instead of 98 degrees, it might be 88 degrees. And that 10 degrees makes a big difference. But all of a sudden, so it seems, not so. And speaking of Bob Kincaid, there's something I want to mention about him, if you don't mind. You've heard about this horrific weather that has been slamming through the mid-Atlantic states. Well, it hit in West Virginia, and it hit Bob's hometown. Now, you know he does the Head-On Radio Network, H-O-R-N, the Head-On Radio Network. And we've got to get some money to him. The power company in his hometown is just floundering because of global warming and the fact that it's a mess. So I want you to go to his website and just contribute a couple of bucks if you can, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever. Would you do this? Now, a lot of you people listening, you don't know what I'm talking about. Bob Kincaid is a real activist in the anti-blow the tops off of mountains movement in West Virginia. He really is. He and his whole family, his two daughters, his son, his wife, they are real, real hardcore activists. They bust their asses to try to make things right in West Virginia. I mean, that's his home. And he also has the Head On Radio Network, which is an online radio show that is open to just about anybody who wants to participate. And he's been offline apparently now for several days. He's without power, as a lot of people are in the middle Atlantic states. But I hear on the news tonight, Kathy, 3, 4, 5 million people without power, and it's going to go on. We have this problem occasionally here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, although we are not as, you know, we have the glories of Georgia Power, which is part of the Southern Company. And I don't think Bob Kincaid has, Georgia Power's in West Virginia. So anyway, if you will do your humble and obedient a favor, go to tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/supportthehorn. Or not even the, just support horn. tinyurl.com/supporthorn. Horn. tinyurl.com/supporthorn. Would you do that? $5, $10, $2. It doesn't matter. He's got a PayPal set up there. He hasn't asked for this, but a mutual friend sent me an email, and I think we ought to do this. Kathy and I just did. So if you you'll do that, tinyurl.com/supporthorn. All right. I might as well, tell you what we need right at the beginning of the show. Right? 4th of July. The Canadians had theirs on Sunday. Their Canada Day. Now it's our turn. Our Declaration of Independence. I just try to stay away from a lot of the nationalistic, jingoistic part of it and watch the fireworks. We watched some fireworks up at Blue Ridge, Georgia. There's a lake up there, part of the Tennessee Valley Authority. You know, the TVA that brought power and lights and flush toilets and radios to Appalachia back in the 30s. Another one of those dirty, rotten, stinking socialist moves by that dirty, rotten, stinking socialist FDR, right? That's one of the reasons that North Georgia has power. But the, of course, the zone, I think, is owned by Georgia Power now. But the Tennessee Valley Authority that dammed rivers. Yeah, they interfered with nature. They did. Dammed rivers and streams and creeks and formed a number of lakes. I'm just talking about Georgia. It's all over the South. Well, part of the South. But they formed lakes that produced hydroelectric power that brought a tremendous, it was like a switch. Matter of fact, it was a switch that flipped on from utter darkness in the Appalachian Mountains in North Georgia in the 30s, when the sun went down, except for the, the whale oil lanterns or whatever, or cooking fires, it was just pitch black. And with the flip of the switch, there was light. I don't know what I'm talking about here. We'll be back in a second. Let's do a break. I'll tell you who's sponsoring the first hour when we come back. But if you would, go to Head On Radio now. Go to tinyurl.com/horn. Is that what I said? Did I say horn? What did I say? Yeah, support horn. tinyurl.com/supporthorn. All right? We'll be right back. What's the good folks say? Sit down. I got some bad news that's going to hurt.
This is my Raymond.
That's your brother. Young bride
ain't home. Who's that? Since you've been gone, she's terrible woman. I told Raymond she was no good. Now he got mad and he saw me. But he wouldn't listen. He said, why don't you lose your head? Cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. I had no idea, though.
substance. No abuse.
Past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Felicia Trujillo, and her message is the following. Listen up. At Body of Santa Fe, Body, B-O-D-Y, of Santa Fe, July 8th and the 22nd, a rare screening of the international award-winning documentary Full Signal. It presents published research long suppressed in the U.S. for those curious about the impact of 12 proposed new microwave radiation towers. Learn how to protect our aesthetics, families, schools, and neighborhoods from the corporate uglification of cell towers. Cell towers are usually placed in working-class neighborhoods, and in Santa Fe, several are planned to be near schools and low-income housing for the elderly and disabled. This film apparently is, I think this is what Felicia means, provided by Doctors Warn. The Warn, W-A-R-N, stands for Wireless and Radiation Network, a group of 90-plus medical doctors and healthcare practitioners who understand the hazards of exposure to microwave radiation, the kind that's in cell towers and cell phones and baby monitors. And it's now categorized by the World Health Organization as a Class 2B, which means a possible carcinogen along with lead, DDT, chloroform, and HIV. For more information, whyfry.org. I hope that makes sense. People who sponsor an hour, I guess in their haste to get it written and get it out there, which I certainly appreciate, some of the sentences kind of run together. I'm not sure. I hope that if Felicia's listening, I hope that makes sense. Thanks, Felicia. The website is whyfry.org. Whyfry.org. You know the guy from Florida, Alan West, who all of a sudden his seat is no longer as safe as he thought it was. You know, the crazy guy, the one that was kicked out of the military for threatening detainees in Iraq. You know who I'm talking about. During a rally yesterday with constituents in a newly drawn district that he wants to represent, West accused President Obama of wanting to turn the American public into slaves. Jesus Christ, this guy is wacko. According to WPTV, West said, quote, he does not want you to have the self-esteem of getting up and earning and having that title of American. He wants you to be his slave. End quote. Now, West is running against Martin County Sheriff Bob Crowder in the Republican primary, which is going to be August 14th. And the WPTV report quotes Crowder as saying he is, quote, offended, end quote, by the things that come out of West's mouth. Sheriff Crowder said, quote, I think trying to label some people that you would have to work with in Congress as being communists, I just think that's the wrong thing to do, end quote. Now, he's referring to back in April when West claimed as many as 80 Democrats in the U.S. House are communists. And, of course, those remarks came after he compared being gay to picking a favorite ice cream flower. He said that a motorcycle was like touching his wife, and he warned that people would be on what he called a suicide mission if they challenged his support for the House Republican budget plan. This guy is obviously a goddamn psychopath. I mean, he really is. It's only a matter of time before Alan West picks up a weapon someplace and starts opening fire. You want to hope it'll be at a target range or in a shooting gallery, but there's also the chance it could be someplace where there are other human beings. You know this guy is going to snap. You know he is. About 30 protesters showed up at his Sunday event, said they wished he had stayed in his old neighborhood instead of moving to theirs. Congressional redistricting left West more vulnerable in his current seat in District 22, so he just moved to what is now District 18, where he thinks he has a better shot of winning. And he's raised a hell of a lot more money than Crowder. God. Barack Obama wants everybody to be a slave. There are 80 communists in the White House, or in the House of Representatives. Being gay is like picking an ice cream flavor. A motorcycle is like touching his wife. And if you challenge his support for the Ryan budget plan, you are on a suicide mission. This guy needs to be locked up. This hour is being sponsored by Felicia Trujillo, and her message is there is a screening at a place called Body of Santa Fe. The screening of this film is July 8th and 22nd. It's the international award-winning documentary Full Signal, and it presents published research long suppressed in the United States for those curious about the impact of proposed 12 new microwave radiation towers. And through Felicia writes, learn how to protect our aesthetics, family, schools, and neighborhoods from the corporate uglification of cell towers. Cell towers are usually placed in working-class neighborhoods. And in Santa Fe, several are planned to be near schools and low-income housing for the elderly and disabled. The film is provided, I think, by Doctors Warn. That's Warn is an acronym for Wireless and Radiation Network. It's a group of 90-plus medical doctors and healthcare practitioners who understand the hazards of exposure to microwave radiation. And that's now categorized by the World Health Organization as a Class 2B health threat, I guess. It's a possible carcinogen along with lead, DDT, chloroform, and so on. For more information, go to whyfry, F-R-Y, whyfry.org. All right? Thanks, Felicia. Speaking of research suppressed in the U.S., did you hear about GlaxoSmithKline today? I'm sure you did. I mean, these pharmaceutical companies are worse, in a way, than the banksters that steal from us. The banksters just set up scams and steal from people, steal from this country, steal from society, steal from each other. They're a bunch of goddamn criminals. They really are. So-called investment bankers, these smarmy bastards that figure out different ways, different devices to use to bend capitalism into a further ugly profile than it already is in order to enrich themselves. And then when all hell breaks loose, we're supposed to bail them out. And we usually do. That's how it works in a capitalist system. They force us to take risks that normally we wouldn't. And it's always free market, free market, free market, until they get their ass caught in a bear trap. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, save us, we're too big to fail. Save us or the whole economy will come. You know, I really do recommend long, if not no parole, prison terms for these bastards. Every single one of them, lock them up. Lock them up. Throw the key away. But now we have GlaxoSmithKline. I started to talk about the pharmaceutical industrial complex as one of the worst. I'm not talking about medical research. I'm not talking about real research into medicine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these sons of bitches like GlaxoSmithKline. You know who I'm talking about. According to, of all places, USA Today, it's all over the place, but the person that sent me a link here used this vehicle under the terms of the plea agreement. a plea agreement. Now, a plea agreement is when you don't plead innocent, you don't plead guilty. You just agree to, while you don't admit any criminal culpability, you agree that whatever you're being accused of, it'll never happen again, and you'll pay a fine to make sure that even though you didn't do it, it'll never happen. You'll never do it again. $3 billion is what GlaxoSmithKline. Now, I guess they're pleading guilty, but I'm not sure what they're pleading guilty to. I guess it's a plea bargain. Okay, let me change it. It's a plea bargain. Normally what these bastards do, they accept a plea agreement where there's no guilt, no innocence, just, what do you call it? I'm drawing a blank here. But it doesn't matter. $3 billion to resolve federal criminal civil inquiries arising from the company's illegal promotion of some of its products and its failure to report safety data and alleged false price reporting. Now, these bastards, Jesus Christ. GSK, GlaxoSmithKline's sales force, bribed physicians to prescribe GSK products using every imaginable form of high-priced entertainment, from Hawaiian vacations to paying doctors millions of dollars to go on speaking tours, to a European pheasant hunt, to tickets to Madonna concerts. Now, this is just to name a few, said Carmen Ortiz, U.S. attorney in Massachusetts. Deputy Attorney General James Cole said, quote, today's multi-billion dollar settlement is unprecedented in both size and scope. At every level, we are determined to stop practices that jeopardize patients' health, harm taxpayers, and violate the public trust. And this historic action is a clear warning to any company that chooses to break the law. Why not throw the sons of bitches in prison? I don't understand. But anyway, Acting Assistant Attorney General Stuart Delery, head of Justice's Civil Division, said at a news conference, quote, for far too long we have heard that the pharmaceutical industry views these settlements merely as the cost of doing business. That is why this administration is committed to using every available tool to defeat healthcare fraud. End quote. Well, good luck on that, Assistant Attorney General Delery. Good luck on that, because to these monsters, it is just a cost of doing business. Are you kidding me? Come on. And it gets worse. This is from Mark Carlin, the editor's blog at BuzzFlash. Justice Department officials also said that between 2001 and 2007, GSK failed to report to the FDA on safety data from certain post-marketing studies and from two studies of the cardiovascular safety of the diabetes drug Avandia. Since 2007, the FDA has added warnings to the Avandia label to alert doctors about potential increase of risk of congestive heart failure and heart attack. Now, that means people probably have died because of information that GSK withheld, not to mention the victims of its off-label marketing drugs such as Paxil, Wellbutrin, Advair, Lamictal, and Zofran. I mean, don't you ever feel like you'd like to grab one of these sons of bitches around the throat and just squeeze until their eyes popped out? I mean, what they do is legal murder, all in the name of capitalism. That's what this is all about. I saw a tape that was played on, I think, NBC Tonight, where some of the chief officers of GlaxoSmithKline at this huge Las Vegas, I think it was Las Vegas, sales seminar. They walk out on stage with fireworks going off. Who wants to be a millionaire? You know, and the GSK salespeople are sitting out in the crowd just salivating. You know, just let us out of here. Let us get to work. Let us go out and lie and cheat and steal. And people will die, but I don't give a goddamn because I'm ordering a new Mercedes. I don't care because I just bought a $2 million home. I don't care. I mean, it just goes on and on. People die. The pharmaceutical industrial complex continues to poison all of us. Now, again, let me please make the distinction between drugs that are developed by scientists specifically to target certain ailments, drugs that work. There's a difference between that and what a pharmaceutical company like GSK, and the list goes on. You hear these stories all the time. GSK just happens to be the one that's in the barrel now. Drugs that they lie about, that they publish false data about, that they hide the dangers, they hide the risks, they don't tell anybody. They bribe doctors. Now, the doctors, of course, are partly responsible for this, for allowing themselves to be bribed. Doctors committing what amounts to, would it be immoral action or just fraud? Certainly unprofessional. Certainly not in keeping with that crazy, oh, stupid ass, useless Hippocratic oath, right? The key question here, according to Mark Carlin from BuzzFlash, the key question for the Department of Justice is if it is, quote, committed to using every available tool to defeat healthcare fraud, end quote, then why isn't it prosecuting corporate executives for criminal acts? Our jails are full of people who are merely users of illegal drugs like marijuana. But if you oversee a scheme to massively profit from the use of prescription drugs that can kill or medically harm people, you get a warning and a fine paid by your shareholders. Of course. That's where we live. That's who we are. That's our system. How does it make you feel, America? Does it make you want to stand up on the 4th of July and just shoot off an extra firecracker and wave that old flag a little harder, right? Yay, GlaxoSmithKline! Yay!
Angry, let Mike do it for you. And it's Mike Malloy.
I forget to do.
Time before the hour, you know, the GlaxoSmithKline agreement comes on top of the fact that Barclays in the English bank got fined for a premeditated fraudulent interest rigging scheme that affected trillions of dollars in transactions. And they got off with a $450 million fine, but no criminal charges against the individuals involved. Now, BuzzFlash at Truthout wrote about this last week. And as Mark Carlin writes, he's the editor at BuzzFlash, as we pointed out in our headline above that commentary, you can go to jail for smoking pot or kiting a couple of small checks, but apparently the Department of Justice believes that defrauding people in trillions of dollars of transactions is not a punishable crime for those involved in the Barclays executive suite. And then, of course, we have the J.P. Morgan Chase fiasco. Remember a couple of weeks ago, it was $1 billion was lost in a bad trade. And then, oops, Jamie Dimon said it might be up to $2 billion. And now, oops, now they're talking $9 billion. $9 billion. A J.P. Morgan representative declined to comment. Now, this loss, whatever it is, has heightened concerns that the biggest banks still pose risks to the U.S. financial system. Of course they do. These banks ought to be closed, shuttered, locked, and their executive board put in prison for the rest of their goddamn useless lives. In a hearing before the House Financial Services Committee last week, Dimon was dismissive when asked if J.P. Morgan's losses could total $500 billion or maybe $1 trillion. And he replied, not unless the earth is hit by the moon. Oh, yeah, it's coming. You know it's coming, don't you? This hour has been sponsored by Felicia Trujillo. And she writes at Body of Santa Fe, July 8th and the 22nd, rare screening of the international award-winning documentary Full Signal. It will present published research long suppressed in the U.S. for those curious about the impact of proposed 12 new microwave radiation towers. Learn how to protect our aesthetics, families, schools, and neighborhoods from the corporate uglification of cell towers. They are usually placed in working-class neighborhoods, and in Santa Fe, several are planned to be near schools and low-income housing for the elderly and disabled. The film is provided by Doctors Warn, or Doctors, and the Warn is Wireless and Radiation Network, a group of 90-plus medical doctors and healthcare practitioners who understand the hazards of microwave radiation. Now, to get more information about this, go to WhyFry, W-H-Y-F-R-Y, whyfry.org. Thanks, Felicia, for the sponsorship and for the message. Thank you. North Carolina's Democratic Governor Beverly Perdue yesterday, vetoed legislation that would have lifted a ban on fracking and opened the door to just crazed shale exploration in the state of North Carolina. Now, Perdue, as I said, she's a Democrat, and she said she supports shale gas exploration, fracking, but that a measure approved by the Republican-led legislature last month to permit the practice would not ensure adequate environmental protections. Of course not. Now, this is the second time where she has vetoed a fracking and shale gas exploration bill in North Carolina. It's not permitted there right now, by the way. And now it'll be up to the Republican-dominated legislature in North Carolina to override the veto. And the way it works in North Carolina, the House and Senate must each get a 3/5 majority of members present to override a veto. Republicans hold a veto-proof majority in the Senate, but they need some votes from Democrats in the House to override the veto. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Democrats, once again, will cut their own goddamn throats and the throats of their constituents. Now, North Carolina, even though Governor Beverly Perdue said when the referendum passed banning gay marriage in North Carolina, she said she was shocked, couldn't understand it. Perdue is a Democrat. She's not really a Democrat in name only, although she does tend toward the conservative side. But she She is a Democrat, and she does still, to some degree, follow traditional Democratic Party principles. But, you know, a state as beautiful as North Carolina, another state going to be ripped to pieces by this filthy, insatiable, disgusting, contemptible capitalist vampire called the energy industrial complex. It just won't stop, will it? It will not stop. It will not stop. Well, you know it's coming. Well, July 4th is the day after tomorrow, so hip hip and hooray, right? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
This is a referral.
Is being sponsored by Kauai John. That's Kauai, Hawaii. His message: the Democratic Party is infested with traitors and cowards. If you want to change, you have to remove these people from positions of trust. How can you tell which members of Congress to hold accountable? One clue is the following list of Democrats who supported that crook, Daryl Issa's contempt of Congress resolution against Eric Holder. Call them now and demand answers. And here they are. We mentioned this last week. Mike Ross in Arkansas, John Barrow, Georgia, Leonard Boswell, Iowa, Joe Donnelly, Indiana, Ben Chandler, Kentucky, Tim Walz, Minnesota, Colin Peterson, Minnesota, Mike McIntyre, North Carolina, Larry Kissel, North Carolina, Bill Owens in New York, Kathleen Hochul in New York, Dan Boren, Oklahoma, Jason Altmaier, Pennsylvania, Mark Kritz, Pennsylvania, Jim Matheson, Utah, Ronald Kind, or Kind, in Wisconsin, Nick Rahal in West Virginia. Now, if you heard the name of your representative there, call him or her and ask, why did you do that? From Kauai John in Hawaii. A story that is developing legs, as they say, is this story about, Mitt Romney's investment in a medical waste firm that, oh no, disposed of aborted fetuses. What? David Korn, writing at Mother Jones Online, says earlier this year, Mitt Romney nearly landed in a politically perilous controversy when the Huffington Post reported that in 1999, Romney had been part of an investment group, Bain Capital, that invested $75 million in a company called Stericycle. Stericycle. Sounds like something you ride. Stericycle, a medical waste disposal firm that has been attacked by anti-abortion groups for disposing aborted fetuses collected from family planning clinics. Huh? Now, this came during the heat of the Republican primaries. And at the time, Romney was trying to sell South Carolina Republicans on his pro-life stance, right? So the revelation at the time had the potential to damage his reputation among these sick goddamn voters that are already suspicious of his shifting position on abortion. You know, suspicious. Was he for it or against it? I don't know. What do you? I don't know. What does it say in the Bible? I don't know. What did Jesus say? I don't know. Well, what's Obama's position? Oh, he's from Kenya. Crazy bastards. Anyway, Bain Capital, the private equity firm that Romney founded, they stepped in and tamped down the controversy. And how'd they do it? They lied. The company said Romney left the firm in February 1999 to run the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, which at the time was in trouble, and likely had nothing to do with that deal, you know, to burn aborted fetuses. Now, the matter never became a campaign issue, but documents filed by Bain and Stericycle with the SEC, documents obtained by Mother Jones, list Romney as an active participant in the investment. And this deal helped Stericycle, a company with a poor safety record anyway, grow while yielding tens of millions of dollars in profits for Romney and his partners. The documents, one of which was signed by Romney, also exposed the lie regarding the official account of Romney's exit from Bain. Now, if this were happening, that's you can read this whole thing if you want to go to MotherJones.com, David Korn's article about the medical waste firm. So a couple of things here, you know, first of all, Romney is your typical corporatist robot. He's totally amoral. He doesn't give a goddamn what he says. Aborted fetuses? Pfft. And, you know, you got to agree with him on that. Aborted fetuses. It's like what? It's like, I don't know, appendixes that have been removed or arms that have been severed or gallbladders that have been taken out. You know, it's thrown into this blathering heap of body tissues and burned if it's being done by a company that does it right, I guess. I don't know. How do you dispose of medical waste, so-called, you know, body parts and pieces and stuff. So, of course, your average anti-abortion right-wing freak who really is anti-woman, they're not anti-abortion. They don't give a goddamn about abortion. What the hell? Abortion, my ass. Wait, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean anything. But they're against women. And they're against sex. Did you know women can do it any damn time they want now? That pill. So they get all rabid and their eyes turn red and their fingernails turn into claws when they start talking about women or woman's privacy. So here's Romney, who has made millions of dollars. His company made millions of dollars according to the documents. It's not according to David Korn. It's according to the documents filed with the SEC. Millions of dollars with a company called Stericycle. And you right-wing freaks who want to get in the way of a woman and her doctor, I want you to listen real closely. Listen up now. They took these fetuses, and burned them! Fetuses! Oh, don't, mommy, don't! Ah! You sick bastards. That's what they do. That's what they're doing in, was it Kansas City? I know they did it here in Atlanta. They get some of these crippled evangelical, mentally crippled evangelicals to crawl across the street in front of an abortion provider Mommy, Mommy, don't kill me. Mommy, Mommy. You just want to go up with a flamethrower and just... Okay, I do. I don't know what you do. So, here's Romney, who is the type. He'll say anything or do anything. He is a sociopath. By definition. Amoral. Totally unable to be empathetic. Feels that he is part of an elite. Amoral. No sense of right or wrong. Everything is situational. But, you know, I just wonder, you right-wingers who monitor the program, what are you going to do now? Your boy made money burning aborted fetuses. Now, think about that. I want you to think about that tonight as you're right after you say your prayers and you go to bed. Mitt Romney, your candidate, the guy you have to vote for, because you're certainly not going to vote for that communist Kenyan, are you? Right? Huh? So, vote for the guy who made money burning aborted fetuses. And get the picture in your mind now, okay? Burning aborted fetuses. Mitt Romney made millions with a company that burned aborted fetuses. Ooh, well now, golly gee, what are you going to do about that, huh? Remember, Mitt Romney, his company made millions from burning aborted fetuses. I wonder if they crackled. Bain Capital got involved with, that Mitt Romney got involved with, Stericycle, and what they did with aborted fetuses or miscarried fetuses was to dispose of them, which means probably burning at very high temperatures, like when they cremate someone. And one of the people in our chat room, Jeff in Montgomery, points out that at the same time, what progressives wanted to do was to use that fetal tissue to save lives via stem cell research. Remember that? But the right wing in this country just went nuts. All of them, every single one of them on the religious right. Oh, they started beating anything that moved with their Bibles, demanding that such a thing never happen. You know, and the Catholic anti-abortionists or anti-stem cell researchers, they want as much suffering as you can wring out of a human being in order to cleanse and purify you. Just because Jesus, you know, Jesus was, look at Mel Gibson's movie, The Agony of Christ or whatever the movie was. You know, when they beat him and kicked him and Then he they hung him on the cross, huh? Yeah, the agony of Christ. What was it? The passion? I don't know. I really don't care. But, you know, suffering and pain and sickness and disease and no relief, that's the right wing and the Christian evangelical way. Except when it's their turn, and then they scream, "Well, you saved Mom and Daddy. I don't care what you have to do." Yeah, but you believe that, you know, and don't you want to go meet Jesus? You know, I mean, this is the kind of madness. So when these evangelicals now find out that Mitt Romney made millions of dollars for his company by investing in another company that burned fetuses, what are you going to do, folks? Huh? Hey, you right wingers, what are you going to do? You're going to ignore that, aren't you? You're going to go vote for Mitt Romney, aren't you? Because you are a hypocritical son of a bitch as a right winger, and you don't care. You don't care about burned fetuses. You couldn't care less. What you care about is controlling women and denying a woman a right to privacy with her physician and blowing up clinics where an abortion might be performed and denying Planned Parenthood money in order to defund an organization where secret stuff goes on, right, with those women. You sick bastards. You really are. I mean, you right-wingers are just... So, you'll vote for Mitt Romney because you're good little, androids. You'll do exactly what you're told. I will guarantee you, I can't guarantee you a lot about Obama, and I don't care for Obama's policies. But I will guarantee you that Obama never invested in a company that burned fetuses. He may be from Kenya. He may not have a valid birth certificate, but he didn't burn fetuses, you morons! Your candidate did! Now, how do you live with that? Well, I'll tell you what's how you live with it. You just go home and pray. Dear God, please forgive old Mitt. He didn't mean it. He didn't know. Hell, he probably didn't even know about it, right? Well, according to the documents filed with the SEC, not only did he know about it, but he put his signature on the document, so you can't run away. You right-wing worms, you can't run away. You are going to vote for a man who burned fetuses. Do you hear me? And you will do it, because your preacher will tell you to do it. And you will do it. And your priest will tell you to do it. And your bishop will tell you to do it. So you'll do it. I don't understand you people. Except you're not from this planet. You're from someplace else. And all the time that was going on, progressives wanted to use this discarded tissue for stem cell research to save the life of right-wingers. And the right-wingers are going to vote for a man who saw no problem in investing in a company that took aborted or miscarried pre-born children, little boys and girls. Oh, pre-borns. Little aborted and miscarried pre-borns. And just cooked them up like so much oyster stew. Oh, my gosh.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
55 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Kauai John in Hawaii. And he says the Democratic Party is infested with traitors and cowards. Amen to that. If you want to change, if you want change, you have to remove these people from positions of trust. How can you tell which members of Congress to hold accountable? One clue is the following list of Democrats who supported the crook Daryl Issa's contempt of Congress resolution against Eric Holder. You, if you hear your boy or your girl in this list, you might want to call and demand answers. Here they are, number 1 through 17. Mike Ross in Arkansas, John Barrow in Georgia, Leonard Boswell in Iowa, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, Ben Chandler in Kentucky, Tim Walz in Minnesota, Colin Peterson in Minnesota, Mike McIntyre in North Carolina, and Larry Kissel in North Carolina. These are Democrats. Bill Owens in New York, Kathleen Hochul in New York, Dan Bourne in Oklahoma, Jason Altmaier in Pennsylvania, Mark Kreitz or Mark Kritz in Pennsylvania, Jim Matheson, Utah, Ronald Kind in Wisconsin, Nick Rahal in West Virginia. Thanks for the sponsorship, Kauai John, and thanks for the list of Democrats, please. Michael in Roswell points out it's much simpler to say that Mitt Romney profited from abortion. Even the scourge of the religious right, Planned Parenthood, is non-profit. So there you have it. You know, for you right-wingers, how are you going to deal with that? Your boy Mitt Romney profited from abortion. Profited from abortion. But you're going to vote him in, aren't you? Now, regarding the criminal settlement that GlaxoSmithKline agreed to, I guess it was just today, as Michael writes, in the matter of these criminal settlements, the government essentially gives the corporation the option to deny wrongdoing in exchange for a fine and a promise to not repeat the illegal activity. It's not exactly an Alford plea, I'm not sure what that is, but works something like one. This effectively prevents a criminal guilty verdict from being used in any future civil suits and effectively indemnifies individuals in control of the corporation from prosecution. Bad as that is, corporations promising to behave legally repeatedly violate the law and are still given fines, mostly because they keep finding new ways to violate the law, or convince the courts that repeat violations were oversights rather than an abrogation of their previous agreements. In this way, the fines do become a cost of doing business and have little to no effect on corporate behavior. As well, many corporations have successfully deducted these fines from their taxes by defining them as compensatory damages rather than fines. And the IRS allows them to do so if the plea agreement does not require them to admit guilt. Think that's evil? Just wait until the United States ratifies the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, which will, in many important ways, make corporate rights superior to federal, state, and local sovereignty. And most people in this country don't have the vaguest clue that it's happening. We're being buggered by our own government, and we don't even know that's happening. And what he's talking about, Michael in Roswell, what he's talking about, this Trans-Pacific Partnership was signed, I remember just kind of like, hey, Trans-Pacific Partnership signed, it's going to be some, you know, I gave it about a nickel's worth of attention a couple of months ago. I think it was a couple of months ago, see, that's how little I paid attention to it, when this deal was signed. And I'll have to take another look at it because, as Michael points out, it makes corporate rights superior to federal, state, and local sovereignty. Now, Obama's trade rep had to sign off on it, but the Congress has to ratify it. Obama's trade rep had to sign off on it, but Congress has to ratify it. And there's still people who wonder why liberal Democrats or progressives or ex-Democrats just can't seem to work up the self-deception to support Barack Obama again. Oh, well. Colorado is still burning. Terrible, terrible situation, no doubt. As Amanda Crawford points out, writing at Bloomberg News, as Colorado Springs battles a rash of burglaries after a wildfire that still licks at its boundaries, it does so, Colorado Springs does so, with fewer police and firefighters. This is a city where the Waldo Canyon fire destroyed almost 350 homes, forced more than 34,000 residents to evacuate. But keep in mind, this is a city where it turned off a third of its streetlights 2 years ago, halted park maintenance, cut services to close a $28 million budget gap after sales tax revenues plummeted and voters rejected a property tax increase. Colorado Springs, the state's second largest city, auctioned both its police helicopters and shrank public safety ranks through attrition to about 8%. It has 50 fewer police and 39 fewer firefighters than 5 years ago. More than 180 National Guard troops have been mobilized to secure the city after the state's most destructive fire. At least 32 evacuated homes were burglarized, and dozens of evacuees' cars were broken into, said the police chief in Colorado Springs. Now, if you had the amoral attitude of a right-winger, wouldn't you say to these people, this is what you wanted, this is what you got? And wouldn't you want to say to these people, what in the hell are you asking for 180 National Guard troops? That's federal money that's being spent. That's tax dollars being spent to save your ass as you watch your property burn, as you find out your house that wasn't burned, but you had to evacuate, was broken into. You're the ones that decided. You didn't want police and fire protection. You were not going to vote an extra what? Half a cent? Property tax? You libertarians, you anti-tax freaks. What do you want now? Who's sending those planes over? Who pays for the Forest Service smoke jumpers? Who pays for it? What's the matter with you people? You ought to go out right now, you people in Colorado, and find yourself a soldier or a National Guardsman or a smoke jumper or a fireman or a cop and say, get the hell out of here. We don't want you. We don't want to pay taxes. Get out of here. Let my house burn. Let my property be stolen. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you demanded? Colorado Springs is the birthplace 20 years ago of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which, according to Amanda Crawford at Bloomberg, later passed statewide. The whole state took it and has been pushed around the country to restrict government spending. And the Taxpayer Bill of Rights became a high-profile example of cost-cutting. The law restricts government spending to the previous year's revenue, adjusted only for population growth and inflation. An associate professor of political science, University of Colorado in Colorado Springs, said, quote, people are going to be looking at the aftermath of this disaster to see what is possible. How far can you go in cutting the size of city government? Huh? Well, you can go a lot further, people of Colorado Springs, residents of Colorado. Come on, you can go a lot further. Fire all your cops. Arm yourselves. Call up the NRA. They'll provide you with some ammunition and weaponry. Of course, the NRA probably doesn't have a clue as to how to fight fires, but so what? You don't want firefighters. You don't want smoke jumpers. You don't want National Guard. You don't want helicopters. You don't want those big tankers flying overhead dropping water and chemicals. You don't want that. You want to save your goddamn little half a percentage mil tax increase on the house you used to own, right?
Defining anger management. Back to Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. And again, the sponsor of this hour was Kauai John from Hawaii. And he wants you to know, as we talk about a lot, Democratic Party is more than its share of traitors and cowards. An example is the following list of Democrats who supported Daryl Issa's contempt of Congress resolution against Eric Holder. If you hear your rep's name in here, you might want to call him and ask him, hey, what was the point? Mike Ross of Arkansas, John Barrow of Georgia, Leonard Boswell of Iowa, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Ben Chandler of Kentucky, Tim Walz of Minnesota, and Colin Peterson, Minnesota. Mike McIntyre of North Carolina and Larry Kissel of North Carolina. Bill Owens of New York. Kathleen Hochul of New York. Dan Bourne of Oklahoma. Jason Altmaier of PA. Mark Kreitz of PA. Jim Matheson, Utah. Ronald Kind of Wisconsin. And Nick Rahal, West Virginia. Yeah, they voted on that contempt resolution. Every single Republican, of course. And these 17 Democrats. Why do you suppose they would do that? Is it because they live in districts where, if they're not careful, the NRA will come after them and nail their hides to the outhouse wall? Why, of course. Thanks for having a lot of courage, you phony-ass Democrats. Why don't you just get out of what's left of this cowardly Democratic Party and just go ahead and become a right-winger? Alma writes in about the Colorado Springs fire. She says, Mike, please remember that this is the area where James Dobson's Focus on the Family is located. Oh, well, maybe that's why Pat Robertson hasn't blamed it on the gays and the liberals and the secularists and yada, yada, yada. One of his partners in crime, another one of these filthy, phony, Christ-murdering Christians lives out there, and has his organization. Well, Mr. Dobson, I think Jesus is sending you a message, you fool. You suppose? You think God's had enough of you, you little worm? He's trying to burn you out? What do you think? Or is it the anti-tax thing? You people in Colorado, you don't want any kind of government intervention. Except when your ass is about to be roasted, then all of a sudden, oh, help me, help me. Why didn't I vote for that property tax? Help me. Oh, never mind. Let my house burn up. You people are crazy. You're crazy. You're mad. Earlier tonight, I mentioned Bob Kincaid. who lives in West Virginia, has to put up with Nick Rahal and a governor and who is both of whom would do anything for the coal capitalists and nothing for the people. And because of the power company, Bob's hometown is offline, let's put it that way. A mutual friend wanted people to help get Bob's program back on the air, and it doesn't take a whole lot. All you have to do is go to this website, tinyurl.com/supporthorn, and send a couple of bucks. We sent a couple of bucks earlier tonight. You can. You know, five, ten, you know, I'm not talking about a lot of money. Well, I just got an email from Bob Kincaid. Here's what he says. Thanks so much for sharing with the Truth Seekers what's going on up here. Many thanks to you and Kathy and they for helping get the horn back on the air, hopefully by tomorrow night. No electricity since Friday past and none expected here before Friday next, according to the coal-fired folks at Appalachian Power. A month ago, I gaped in country mouse awe at all the solar panels all over Germany. You know, the solar panels the coal industry says don't work. Month later, I'm back here in Appalachia where solar power is somewhere between communism and Satanism. But good, God-fearing, toxic coal-fired electricity will keep Toby Keith singing in Greenbrier County, even if Granny has to roast to make it happen. No, really, electricity for a golf tournament has taken priority over power to the people. That golf tournament, you see, put together by a man who blows up mountains for profit, is creating jobs! Our governor's campaign website still loads with an exhortation to fight back again the EPA's war on coal. Meanwhile, no ice, no power, precious little information. We're using the car air conditioner as a cooling station and cell phone charger. Sorry if this is a bit disjointed, Mike. Unlike the hip kids, my skills typing with only the tips of my thumbs leave a bit to be desired. Again, please extend to the truth seekers our abiding thanks. With any luck at all, we'll be talking about all this tomorrow night. Damn mosquitoes out here are the size of eagles. Bob Kincaid. Yeah, now, some smart ass is going to say, what the hell is he doing in Germany on vacation? No, he went there to speak. He was invited to go to speak about what's happening in West Virginia. But thanks to everybody who responded. And if you still want to respond, because you still need some help here, I'm serious. tinyurl.com/supporthorn. $2, $5. Anything. How many of us are left? How many of us are left? I know. All right, some more on the wildfires in Colorado when we come back. Thanks to Amanda Crawford of Bloomberg News. And your phone calls. We're going to open up the lines over the top of the hour here, so stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. You know, it's really, it is very upsetting to see people in the Colorado Springs area watching everything literally go up in smoke. And no way to avoid it because of their half-assed thinking in Colorado. You know, no taxes, no money, fire everybody. We're libertarians. God will protect us. Well, God is slapping the hell out of you right now, right? I mean, you could look at it that way, couldn't you? Or if you wanted to stay within the realm of real things, you could take a look at the fact that the voters in Colorado decided to do away with necessities like police, firefighters, smoke jumpers, EMS, streetlights. We don't need none of that. Well, how does it feel to get exactly what you wanted? As Amanda Crawford of Bloomberg News writes, Colorado Springs, home of the evangelical group Focus on the Family, is known for being conservative and libertarian. Professor Dunn, the guy back at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, said the Colorado Springs was the Tea Party before the Tea Party was cool. 6 of the 9 candidates in last year's nonpartisan mayoral election, 6 of 9, including the victor, Mayor Steve Bach, signed the no tax pledge pushed by this psycho son of a bitch, Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform, according to the Colorado Springs Gazette. How does it feel, boys? You signed the pledge. Is Grover Norquist responsible for the burnings in Colorado Springs? Huh? You see? One candidate who didn't sign it, according to Bloomberg News, was Richard Scorman. And he was flooded with angry emails after saying in a debate why he opposed such a pledge. What, he asked, if the city got hit by a major wildfire? Oh, the irony! Oh, my God! Scorman, a 60-year-old small business owner and former city councilman, who lost to the current mayor in a runoff, said in a telephone interview, quote, resources have been very stretched and we were always worried, end quote. So after the debate, when candidate Scorman said, well, I'm against the no tax pledge because, well, what if the city gets hit by a major wildfire? Oh, you son of a bitch, they said to him. How dare you? Well, okay. Is it not ironic, almost to the point of parody, what has happened now in Colorado Springs? Oh, it's awful to see, I grant you. Here I am in Atlanta, Georgia, that was burned to the ground during the war of northern aggression, watching the TV, and I see all these folks in Colorado crying their eyes out because where there used to be a house, there's nothing but this weird white ash. And then they go to the scenes of these roaring fires. But no, by God, we're not going to tax ourselves to try to prevent something like this. Clearing out dead brush. Fire prevention. Remember when the Bush crime family, in his budget, one of his budgets that I'm sure got passed, where they deleted millions of dollars from the National Forest Service budget that was specifically targeting forest fire prevention. Remember? Well, here's your result. Here you are. And it's not just Colorado. It's all over the West. Do you right-wingers not even possess a nickel's worth of goddamn sense to add two and two together and figure out why your libertarian paradises are burning to the ground? Can you not figure it out? No, it's not your belligerent, nasty, grumpy-ass God. It's not that. It's your half-witted politics. That's what it is. You morons. But keep it up. Why stop? You ought to get rid of your education system, too. Defund that. And what about your public hospitals? God damn it, if they can't afford health insurance, let them die on the street. Is that what you want? Two people have been killed in the Waldo Canyon blaze. A 29-square-mile area the size of Manhattan. It's cost $12 million to fight it so far. Where's the money coming from, Coloradans? Huh? Where'd it come from? Wow. The city of Colorado Springs has been aggressive in applying for federal grants. Federal grants. So you want the rest of us there in Colorado and Colorado Springs, you want the rest of us to pay to save your ass from burning up. Federal grants. The filthy federal government, you're applying to the Kenyan, the Muslim in the White House? You are? Why are you doing that? Why do you want a federal grant? Because you are irresponsible right-wingers. You want someone else to pay the bill. You're not going to be taxed. You'd rather see your goddamn city burned to the ground, wouldn't you? Well, not quite, because when the flames do come, you apply for federal grants. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Make the rest of us, or beg the rest of us, to pay for your idiocy, right? Isn't this what you right-wingers are always talking about? Personal responsibility? Where's yours, you morons? Professor Dunn notes that this city, where there's a strong anti-federal government sentiment, is now turning to the United States for assistance. Colorado Springs is going to rely heavily on federal funds. Wait a minute. That's my goddamn money, Colorado. Why should I give you my money? That's my money. Mine, 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 mine. It's not yours. Where's your goddamn bootstraps? Why don't you take those bootstraps and start beating the fire that comes around your house? Why don't you do that? Whack, 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 whack. You think that'll work? You want a federal grant? How dare you? That's my money. I want to take that money and go buy me a goddamn ice cream cone. Why should I give it to you to put out the fire on licking at your front yard? And why should I give it to you to rebuild your house so you can kick my ass again because I'm a liberal, a former Democrat? I believe in people taking responsibility. To hell with you. I'm going to go get me two ice cream cones.
You do my thing.
It's Mike Malloy.
The hour. Coming to your phone calls here in just a second. Here's another one. Federal regulators today proposed a $3.7 million civil penalty against the Canadian owner of the pipeline that ruptured in 2010 that dumped more than 800,000 gallons of oil into a southwestern Michigan river. Remember this? The company is Enbridge, Inc., E-N-B-R-I-D-G-E, Inc. U.S. Department of Transportation's Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration said the penalty against that company would be the largest it has imposed. In a letter to the company, the agency listed 24 violations of hazardous liquid pipeline regulations, including failure to fix corrosion problems in the damaged pipe joint discovered in 2004.
No, we're not going to fix it. We don't have to fix it. We're an oil company. We do any goddamn thing we want.
So in 2010, it ruptures. And Department of Transportation also said the company, Enbridge, had failed to detect the rupture for 17 hours after it happened. Instead, Enbridge personnel twice restarted the line after it shut down automatically. And after receiving multiple alarms and indications of abnormal operating conditions, blah, blah, blah. Enbridge is based in Calgary, Alberta, by the way. It has 30 days to respond. It could accept the agency's findings and pay the penalty or request a hearing before an administrative judge. And don't let the fact that it's a Canadian company throw you off track, Truth Seeker. It's an oil company. They don't have allegiance to any country whatsoever. Canadian Schmaladian, American Happarican, it doesn't matter. They're an oil company. They suck poison out of the earth and then sell it to you and me. God. $3.7 million fine. Enbridge estimated its cleanup costs at about $700 million. So this little fine represents what? 0.5%? Ooh. According to who? Damn it. Spokesman for the Pipelines, the Department of Transportation's Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration, a spokesman, a guy named Barrett, said that Enbridge inspections in 2004 had turned up corrosion problems along the weld seam of the pipe joint that eventually would fail. And nobody, so what? Outlining specific regulatory violations, Barrett said Enbridge inspections in 2005, a year later, found crack-like anomalies found on the same joint. No repairs were made. The agency, the government agency, assessed the largest portion of the penalty, $1 million, for that failure. Most of the other violations drew $100,000 penalties. You know, when a company like Enbridge or BP or ExxonMobil or whatever it is, when a company like that gets a fine for immeasurably and irrevocably destroying part of the environment where people live and they rely on well water or clean air or whatever, when they get a fine, these oil companies, a fine of $10 million, $3 million, $20 million, a billion, it means nothing. It's nothing. And a $3.7 million fine, I hate to use somebody else's overworked expression, but that works out to a rounding error. $3.7 million is nothing. It's invisible. It means not a damn thing. Now, a $30 billion fine might mean something, wouldn't it? But then, of course, you would find a court here in the United States who would say, well, wait a minute, that's court of, that's excessive. We're going to reduce that from $30 billion down to $1.98. That ought to take care of it, right?
Oh, honey, everything's coming up. Roses and daffodils. Everything's coming up. Sunshine and Santa Claus. Everything's got to be. Bright lights and lollipops. Everything's coming up. Roses for me and for you.
My name is Jennifer. Another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. From Philip in New York City, Mike, with all due respect, Colorado is not a flying monkey right state, it is a center left state. Yes, Colorado Springs is home to Focus on the Family, but Denver is also one of the most progressive cities in the country, and Fort Collins is home to one of the most progressive universities. If this had been Alabama, I would be all for the level of criticism you're leveling right now. But the people of Colorado are, by and large, decent and socially responsible people. I think the world of you and your show, but I do not think your previous segment was in good taste. Philip in New York City. Well, Philip, all I appreciate your email. All I can say is the Colorado Springs is the birthplace of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which later passed statewide and has been pushed around the country to restrict government spending. See, government spending is the catch-all phrase. It's not keeping the parks open or the streetlights on. I'm talking about state parks. I'm not talking about parks in Colorado Springs, Philip. So, you know, my condemnation is not directed at a geographical entity, Colorado, any more than it would be directed at one here in the South, Georgia, where I live, even though my state is run by morons, cretins, and halfwits also. And there's a lot of good people in Georgia, but we're, well, I shouldn't say that. It sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, which I'm not. I'm not a good person. I'm a son of a bitch. But there are a lot of good people in Georgia who suffer because the majority of people in the state who make the laws are not good. They're evil, rotten bastards. The same thing applies to Colorado. So, you know, if you don't think the previous segment was in good taste, I'm sorry for that, but I'm not going to change anything. And I will tell you that a lot of what I do on this program is parody. And it's to be seen that way. It's overemphasizing the total asininity of a group of people or a religion or a state or a county or a government or a legislature. You know, it's called parody. Now, at what point I cross the line from parody into being an insufferable ass, I don't know. That's apparently I crossed that line with you. Sorry. But I mean, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm never sorry for anything I've said. I've made apologies for things I've said, but I'm never sorry for saying them. My apologies are usually political. The things that I say are from the heart. You know how that goes. Anyway, Philip, thanks. I appreciate your writing. But if the people of Colorado, Springs or Denver, Fort Collins, you know, wherever, if they're tired of seeing their state burning to the ground, maybe they should do something about preparing for the next firestorm. So there will be a next one, and that involves not relying on volunteer firefighters from Washington State or Alabama or upstate New York. It means taking care on a community-wide basis, you know, a kind of a social democratic thing, making sure that, first of all, the forests are less prone to breaking into fires like this, which means empowering your state forest service to clean it up, to have controlled burns, to take care of this before it becomes something like it's turned into. It also means making sure that the residents of the state tax themselves to the degree necessary for protection. It doesn't mean relying, if this is what they, you know, scream and kick their floor about like a bunch of damn two-year-olds, it doesn't mean relying on the federal government. Although the federal government is so many times the last resort to bail people out, even the ones who spit in the federal government's face. I don't like their goddamn federal government. Grow up, people. And, Philip, all I can say to you is, well, I appreciate the fact that I may have pissed you off. I'm not going to change anything. I really am not. And I don't apologize for the last segment. The point was made in the way I make points. I'm not a deep thinker. I just shoot from the hip, pal. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, thanks, Philip. Appreciate your writing. Mark is in San Francisco. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, anybody that votes for a politician that takes a pledge to Grover Norquist, you got to blame yourself for the results.
Well, I can't help but feel that way. You know, when you have 9 candidates running for the mayor of Colorado Springs, and 6 of them signed the pledge, and one of the guys who doesn't gets a bunch of hate-filled email because he suggests, well, what are we going to do if a raging forest fire hits Colorado Springs? And by God, a year later, a raging forest fire hits Colorado Springs. I mean, that's madness.
It is, Mike. And what's even more maddening about it is the only reason why he doesn't want to raise taxes is because he wants to have a welfare program for the 1%.
There you go.
At the expense of everybody, you know, in the state, and, you know, the people that are working and you know, paying the taxes, they're not getting any service for their taxes. It's going to a welfare program, you know, that the Republican Party has set up for the 1%. But I wanted to ask you, Mike, what do you think, or what amount do you think J.P. Morgan Chase lost? They said $2 billion, but we know that's a bunch of baloney. How high do you think it is?
You know, you and I will probably never have any way of knowing, no matter what happens. This figure I saw, I think the other day in the New York Times, is $9 billion. Possible. I got an email from a couple of people tonight who just kind of snicker and say, you better raise that square it, you know, 81 billion, 80 billion, 100 billion. The thing about JP Morgan Chase and the rest of these, banking outfits, it's such a closed loop. I mean, these are people, it's like, I don't know how to say it. They manipulate, financial markets in order to get just if they get a little piece here and a little piece there, and they do it at the speed of light, they become millionaires and billionaires. But when the bubble finally bursts, in the real world, average folks, i.e. the government, has to pay for their sport, their fun and games. So I have no idea how big it is, Mark. I'll bet it's just a monster.
It is. And you know, they tried to sweep it under the rug. I think they have the Tea Party Congress there trying to shake him down. But let's face it, Mike, they're trying to sweep this under the rug. This man doesn't want to be regulated. But I believe that what happened there, if we dig deep, we're going to find out it's an enormous amount, and it's an amount that we should raise hell over and say, you're going to be regulated, pal. This game's over. We're not going to fund your gambling anymore.
Yeah.
People are getting hurt bad, Mike. I'll tell you, pensions got robbed. I mean, it was devastating to people. And this guy nothing happened to these guys. Well, I'll tell you what, the least amount of it is that the game's up and you're going to be regulated, pal. The game's over.
Yeah, if we want to save any kind of, I don't want to say the financial system in this country, because the financial system, the economic system, is obviously so corrupted and so defiled by these capitalist predators that, what are we going to be saving? But I guess what I'm trying to say is, if we want to establish a system that is fair, just, equitable, within which people can run small businesses or small manufacturing plants, family farms, kind of the Jeffersonian idea, if we want to do that, then the first thing we have to do is drive a stake through the heart, the eyes, the lungs, the liver, and the kidneys of this goddamn thing called American capitalism. And until that happens, the other is going to happen. We're going to have people like Jamie Dimon say, oh, well, I guess we lost a few billion, trillion, I don't know, quadrillion. Who keeps track? Ha, ha, ha. You guys will pay for it anyway. So, I think it's obvious that if we want to maintain a system where we all can live and exist, or get rid of money altogether and go back to a barter system, I don't know.
Well, the way it's set up now, Mike, it's they got everything to gain, and if they lose, we got to pay for it. And, I've had it, and I think everybody else has had it that has a brain. And I think now's the time we say we want an investigation. This dog and pony show you put on was a bunch of baloney, and we want to get to the heart of the matter, and that's you got to be regulated, pal. No more games.
I hear that. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, brother.
Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, I would... I just honestly, a couple of years ago when I came up with Malloy's brand of democratic socialism, which is not really mine, it's just stuff I borrowed, but the one of the first things that should be nationalized are the banking system, the entire banking system in this country. Get rid of these thieves, liars, muggers, that's what they are, these predators, like, Jamie Dimon is just representative of them. He is not all of them by any means. But just get rid of them. Just take away their toys. Say no more. You've screwed it up beyond belief. Get out of town. Go away. Go live on an island.
We would shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea.
Ready for action, nipping in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcasts are everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one and pass them. Drip, drip, drop, there it goes, an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face, you tapping right into your memory bank. Thanks. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fastened. Trunk rattling, like 2 minutes in the back seat rattling. Speaker box vibrate the
10 before the hour.
Cans in the bag, but I know y'all want it at 808.
David is in Santa Fe. Hello, David.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again. I'm your Lakota friend and relative.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, on the Colorado Springs thing, I don't want to get too deep or anything on that, but, that last segment, whether it was good taste or bad taste, it was the truth. These people that want to listen, I thought they were truth seekers. So I want to give them a little truth that's real history, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Okay, George Washington, the so-called father of your country. You see, I'm a Lakota, so I'm still technically a prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was a surveyor before he was a general.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 5 years old, this all sounded real good to me, the cherry tree, the whole bit. I'm a Lakota boy in an American school. And then I find out later when I read the biography of Tecumseh, who was a Shawnee, that George Washington went around and burned towns down on purpose. Because if they're going to survey the area, you know, these Indian towns are in the way. So they had to burn them down. So the Shawnee name for George Washington was the Town Destroyer.
Mm.
Okay, I don't want to go. That's all I'm going to say about that. The other thing is I really enjoyed your segment a couple months ago when they were getting down on the Girl Scouts for having a connection to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And that interview with Molly.
Right.
I mean, I was rolling on the floor.
Right.
I mean, your daughter is really something, and you and Kathy, just wonderful.
Well,
I wanted to, originally I called in, I've been on hold for a while, but I wanted to say I really enjoy Moody Blues, too, and all your taste in music.
Well, great. great.
But that thing, you know, and then Romney, you know, he gets finds out he's doing the, you know, what he's doing about, you know, investing in that company. And they're getting down on the Girl Scouts for having...
Yeah. Yeah, as Michael wrote in, Planned Parenthood does not support abortion. Or they don't profit from abortion. They are a non-profit organization, and abortion services represents 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. In other words, 97% of what Planned Parenthood does has nothing to do with abortion. Whereas Mitt Romney actually profited from what the right wingers call the abortion industry. I'm not suggesting that Mitt Romney was instrumental in assisting in removing a fetus from a woman's body, but he profited from it, as did his company and the shareholders of that company. So, you know, the hypocrisy in this country is so deep that most of us are drowning in it. We're just drowning in it. And that's the thing that drives me crazy.
Well, they're sociopathic. They have no human feelings, really.
Well, that's
just
it.
Just profit. Profit, profit, profit. Hell with everybody else.
That's it, exactly.
One other thing you touched on, Mike, if I might comment.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I'm worried, you know, our so-called reservations were whittled down to nothing in the North Dakota and South Dakota. I talked to you briefly about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're running that pipeline through there, and it's going through the Pine Ridge and, I don't know, some reservations in Canada. And there is no coverage, hardly at all, no mention of it at all. But I heard you mention a little bit about a while back. But the Native people, you know, it's just taking more and more of their land. And then they're also exploiting people who have a little bit of land left. And they're saying, well, we're going to come and sink a well here, a gas well, oil well, and we'll give you $500, you know, whatever, part anything. And it's been going on for a couple
of years. If you find some links to articles about that, David, if you wouldn't mind, send them to me, because I'm not that aware of that. You say I mentioned it before. I may have mentioned it in passing, but it's completely slipped my mind. So if you come across something, send it to me, okay?
Well, I'll try to get some information. You see,
great.
Mike, I'm so old-fashioned, I don't even do the computer. That's why I try to get through to you by phone.
Oh, I see.
And I would really like to, like, speak at length with you sometime if I might leave my phone number, Mike.
All right, let me put you on hold, and Kathy will get it. Thank you, David. I don't know when it would ever be, but Kathy will get your phone number. Thanks, David. Gabe is in Richmond, Indiana. Hello, Gabe.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you? I only have about 2 minutes now, Gabe. I'm sorry.
Dang it.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
I've been on hold for a while.
You have, almost an hour, and I apologize for that.
Hey, you know what? I enjoy your show. I listen. 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in Champaign, Illinois, and I'm forced to sit in my vehicle because I can't smoke in hotels anymore. And but I enjoy listening to your show, so I sit and smoke in my vehicle and listen to your show. So.
Okay. Well, of course, I wish you wouldn't be smoking, but it's
yeah.
it's yours, not mine. But I appreciate you listening, Gabe.
Hey, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this, Gabe? Because we're almost out of time here. If you'll give me a call tomorrow night, or you know, whenever it's convenient for you, I won't make you wait 54 minutes again. I do apologize, but we're just flat out of time. Thanks, Gabe. What did we accomplish tonight? Nothing. All right, thanks for tuning in and hanging out. And don't forget to maybe consider dropping a little in the hat for Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio Network. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is a referral.